We're going to meet Peter, so I'll invite Peter to join me here. You just heard a little bit of Peter playing, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Trent.
All the way from Tasmania.
Yeah, yeah, via casino.
Tasmania via casino, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Tasmania, Penguin.
Yes.
You live there?
No.
Okay.
But that's good.
Okay.
We used to live there.
Okay. So. Rightio. Yes. So you used to live there, and a young guy once came to your place in 1997.
Yes.
By the name of John Wilson.
Yes, he did.
And he recorded some songs in your studio.
He did.
Do you remember him?
Well, I do. Have you got something to show me?
Yeah, have you got... Well, there's a CD for
me. Oh, there you go. Get out. And you know what I remember? I remember the little ball.
Yeah, the ball that goes back and forth.
I thought that's very clever.
He delivered that to me today. He's sad he couldn't be here this morning. No. Obviously, he's got other things he's doing.
Of course, yes.
But you, I'm old enough to have a CD player in my car.
Yes.
And my car's old enough to have a CD player.
Yep.
And later on, you'll have some things which people, if they cannot make tonight, there's opportunity for people to purchase some of your goods
product.
Out there. Product. But tonight is a free concert.
That's right.
Yep. Yes. And there's going to be free food as well.
Come on.
So please make sure you're back here at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And bring someone. It'll be a great thing to introduce them to. Now, Penguin, that's Penguin. I went to Tasmania in 2022, yeah, that's right, because it's 20 years being married.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got to remember that.
And it was my first time to the island.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Okay. Yeah,
I thought it was
beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Penguin's up the north
yep.
top, up
That's
the top
right.
there.
Yep.
Do you have penguins?
Oh, yeah. Right along the coast, there's penguins here.
Yeah. No, we got to see some penguins on the road at Stanley.
Yeah.
And we went near the nut. Yeah, they were just like crossing the road, mate.
There you go.
You go, what's that thing on the road? That's a penguin!
That's right.
But where do you actually live now? It's not Penguin now.
Ulverston, which is the next town over.
Right, yeah, good. Okay. So, you know, John, we made a connection with John. And there's a little connection you have too. You've been in Africa last year. So, at the beginning of this
January,
year.
In January, just a few weeks ago.
So I spoke to you in January.
Yes.
And you happened to be, I think you're in Dubai going way or back.
I think I was on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it might have been the way back. But
way
anyway,
back.
Yeah.
Yes. What were you doing in Africa?
There's a very, very large ministry over there called Deeper Life, based in Nigeria. So I had done some crusades with William Kamoi, who's the leader of that movement, who was in Australia, and I joined him for some crusades. And he invited me over for their leadership congress, which runs every January.
Yes.
And it's 20,000 leaders from 150 countries. So it was a massive event, and then had the privilege of ministering in his church, which is 35,000 people in the auditorium, another 30,000 in breakout rooms, and the city is zoned in three, and you can only come on your Sunday, so people get to come to church once every 3 weeks. So
wow.
They're ministering to a lot of people.
Yes.
So it was an amazing experience.
Yes. Yeah. So Nigeria, we hear about Nigeria in the news, but what was your experience when you were there?
Well, Nigeria is similar to India in some regards, in that the south is very, very Christian.
Yes.
And the further north you go, the more that changes. So a lot of the conflict and a lot of the atrocities that we're hearing about are isolated in the north. So felt very, very safe in the south, and there's churches on every corner. Very, very strong Christian culture in the south. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Great.
But,
We're very happy to have you here with us. I'm going to get our kids to come forward, but you'll be speaking to us from 2 Peter.
Yep.
I'll give this to you now. This is our stories. So his word,
brilliant.
Our stories.
Brilliant.
Is it last year or the year the year before? 2 years ago, we put together some stories and pictures.
So good. Thank you.
It's a bit of a gift of you being here with us, but we appreciate your time
Thank
with
you
us
so much.
And look forward to sharing more
yep.
from 2 Peter. Kiddos, come on down. This is Peter. Wave to Peter.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I staying here?
No, you can
good.
Go. Yeah. They're scary, Peter. You don't want to... Yeah. Now, on the screen, kiddos, just look up to the screen, and you should be able to see a map in a minute. Let me click forward. So, just to remind you about Nigeria, Nigeria is where Peter has been, and he could tell you anything about his time there. He'll tell you about his time there, but Nigeria is going to be a focus for World Day of Prayer, which is happening this Friday coming. Excellent. His word, our stories, we gave that book to Peter, and we're going to get into God's word. I'm going to ask Karen to read that for us in a moment, but I'm going to just read you this scripture firstly. It says this in 2 Peter, and we'll get to this next week, or the week after, I should say. He says that, above all, you must understand this. Here's something to understand, everyone. That no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's about to speak to you. He's got a word for you. And we're going to hear what that word is. The origin of his scriptures is from him. It's his word. I'm going to invite Karen to read the first 8 verses for us. But let's hear what the Lord has to say to us in 2 Peter.
So I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of God and our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who was here 30 years ago when I was here? Yes, a few hands. It has been 30 years, so we haven't changed a bit, have we? So greetings from Tasmania. Greetings from my family, my wife Kerry, 5 adult children and 2 and a bit grandchildren. So we've got another one due in July. How good is grandparenting? Yeah. Brilliant. I do have some music that you can take home with you. So this is my latest album, released last year, called Wait. That's what it looks like on CD. Who would like that? Young lady in the front. Come on down. What is your name? Correct. So Wendy just won herself a free CD. So if you're not into CDs, because they are kind of a thing of the past almost, the most popular thing we have is a plug and play USB that has 6 albums on it, plugs into your new car with no CD player or your smart TV or your soundbar or your computer. So please take some music home with you and enjoy that. But looking forward to tonight, so make sure you get along and bring a friend. Free food doesn't get any better. Even if you don't like the violin, free food is worth coming for. So Father, we just delight in your word this morning, because for us it is life, it is a living thing, and I pray that by your spirit this morning, your word would speak to us and grow us and challenge us, because Father, that's what your word is all about, just to keep us growing more and more in the likeness and the image of Jesus, more of him, less of us. So we just invite you to speak to us through this word this morning, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Well, we're digging into 2 Peter, starting a series. Trent, fantastic. And Thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce this series. So a little bit of a context before I get into today's verses. The second letter of Peter is recognized to be one of the Apostle Peter's final writings, the last written words of this great apostle. And there's a sense, and he talks about this, I think, in chapter 1, he talks about the fact that there's this sense that his time's almost done. So he is having that moment of thinking, what is the message that I want to leave with the church? As church history tells us, Peter is martyred under the reign of the Emperor Nero. So I reckon these are very, very selective words. So with that awareness, he's thinking, what does the church need to hear? What's burning upon his heart? Because when somebody knows that the end is near, they don't want to talk about trivial stuff. They don't want to waste time on trivial things. They want to focus on what truly matters. So what was Peter concerned about? Well, his concerns, we read, are false teaching coming into the church. He was concerned about believers losing or drifting from having a really solid foundation. He was concerned that the prevailing culture and the pressures of the prevailing culture and the deceptive ideas that were floating around would slowly erode their faith. So chapter 2 deals strongly with false teachers. Chapter 3 deals with scoffers who question the return of Jesus. But what's so powerful here is that before Peter warns them, before he confronts error, before he talks about deception, he actually anchors them with an assurance. So he doesn't begin his letter with fear. He doesn't begin it with panic. He begins, if you like, with provision. He says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's a great statement. In other words, hey guys, before you worry about what's coming, you got to know this. You need to understand what you already have. So Peter's answer to a corrupt culture is not to shy away and retreat and just meet behind closed doors in fear. His answer to deception is not to get argumentative on social media. His answer to all of those things is, guys, you got to grow in your knowledge of Jesus. And that's why I've called this message knowledge. You've got to grow in your knowledge of Jesus. In fact, the word knowledge, and that's why I selected this, as you read the book, it just kind of runs through it like a thread. Because Peter understands something critical. The church does not collapse overnight. It actually erodes slowly. And erosion always begins when truth becomes unfamiliar. Erosion always begins when truth is neglected. So his solution is simple, and I think very, very powerful. Know him, know his presence, know his promises, know what has been given to you already, know what you already have. And that's why this passage is so important for us today. Because we live in a culture that is so full of noise, so full of competing distractions, full of opinions, full of spiritual confusion, full of moral compromise. And into that environment, very similarly culturally, into that environment, Peter says, guys, church, you are not lacking. You are not deficient. You are not spiritually under-resourced. And on that last point, we are the most resourced people of God in all of history. His divine power has already given you everything you need. So the issue is not supply, the issue is knowledge. Do you have a knowledge of these things? And that's what I want to unpack in the next few minutes. I'm just going to read those two verses, 3 and 4 out of 2 Peter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. I tell you, we could spend a month just on those verses alone. Peter says, and he starts these words, he starts this letter by saying that God has given us everything we need through his divine power. It's done. We have it. We don't need to search for it. We don't need to go to conferences to find it. We don't need to read books on it. It appears we don't even have to ask in prayer for it. He's saying we have it. We have everything we need. So what's the result of having everything we need? Well, Peter tells us that you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Who wants those outcomes in their life? Absolutely. Great outcomes. Oh, man, to participate in the divine nature, that's God's outworking of his Holy Spirit transforming us from the inside out. More of him, less of us. And that I would escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And we have a culture today that is just clamoring for our attention, and it's pretty good at doing it. So what's the key to the promise that unlocks the outcome in our lives? Again, the promise, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, the outcome that you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Here's the key. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Friends, knowledge is the key. If we don't know the promises of God, we can never live in expectation of the outcome. We can never ever stop growing, never ever stop learning. Yeah, there's an old saying that says ignorance is bliss. Spiritually speaking, there is nothing more untrue. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a breeding ground for fear and paranoia and misinformation. And there is a lot of hollow voices getting your attention on social media, sowing seeds of fear and paranoia and misinformation. And we've got to have the discernment, which requires knowledge, to know that we can just dismiss that with a laugh. Amen? Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Same passage from the Amplified. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshipping him and regarding him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. And if we rewind a little bit to the early history of the nation of Israel, God gave the people the law. The guiding principles for God's people etched into tablets of stone. Moses brought them down from the mountain, presented them to the people, and explained that these words were to be a guide for their lives. God wanted his people to know his truth. Then the people finally made it to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And just before they crossed the river Jordan to take possession of the promised land, Moses gives final instruction. And we read the final instruction in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means repetition of the law. So Moses reminds them of everything that God has already taught them. Deuteronomy 6:1, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing in the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And we got to understand the context for this is they are about to cross into the promised land, but the promised land was already occupied. And there was a whole bunch of cities and a whole bunch of different cultures that would threaten the purity of Israel. The first battle they had to fight was Jericho. And so as they enter the land, as they begin to face these fortified cities and this great enemy, God says, listen, you've got to have and you've got to know and you've got to understand this final instruction so that you do not get caught up in the culture that you're about to enter into. And here it is, instruct your children in the word of God so they know the truth. Now, sadly, as you follow the story, they eventually fell into captivity because they failed to apply what they had been taught. And so often in the Gospels, you see Jesus rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees with words like, do you not know and have you not read? And he's saying this to men who were familiar with Scripture. He's saying, why are you so ignorant of what the scrolls say? Why are you so ignorant? And so much of the New Testament is taken up with letters that the apostles wrote to the church as it spread and as it grew. And we find common direction through all of them like, know this, stand fast. I would not want you to be ignorant about. Be ready to defend your faith. So right throughout the Bible, God's repeated command to his people is learn, study, grow, equip your mind with my words so that you can defend faith in any circumstance, any environment, and that you can stand up against any attack. But we also need to understand that knowing God's word is critical if we actually want to grow in our faith. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the more you get to know God, the greater your faith will be. And Romans clearly tells us that reading and understanding the word of God is one of the ways that our faith grows. But here's a really important point. We don't read the Bible to get to know the Bible. If you read the Bible to get to know the Bible, probably after a little while, it will become a little bit laborious and perhaps even a little bit boring. Because the reason we read the Bible is actually to get to know Jesus, the living word. And this is so important. You know, Jesus actually criticized the Jews for studying the scriptures. John 5 and 39, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So he's saying this, you study the scriptures to know the scriptures, but you're missing the whole point. The purpose of the scripture is to reveal me to get to know me. Let me illustrate. I've got a VW. Sorry if that offends anybody. When I got the car, it had a manual in it, and I read the manual. The reason I read the manual was not to get to know the manual. The reason I read the manual was to get to know the car. That's what the manual's for. And I could read the manual every night before bed. I could have it on my bedside table. Read it every night, read a little bit of every morning. I could have underlined the bits that I liked in the manual. I could have memorized sections of it. I could have joined the local VW fellowship and go every week for an exposition of the manual. I could put it to music called VW in Song. And if I was really serious, I could have studied German and read it in the original language, and that would impress everybody. But the day would come where having read it, having underlined it, having sung it, having translated it, the day would come that I would say, you know what, I'm really, really bored with the manual. Why? Because the manual serves only one purpose, to introduce me to the car. I read the manual in order to understand the car. The purpose of Scripture is that through the written word, we get to know the living word. Because truth is Jesus himself, the living word. And the Bible detached from Jesus is about as much use as a car manual detached from the car. It might be interesting information, but it won't get you anywhere. So as we wrap up, six things that I want to highlight here. Six benefits of us being people of knowledge. Number one, knowledge gives substance to our faith. If we don't know the Bible, what it is, what do we rely upon to guide us in God's truth? And it's not listening to Hillsong CDs. And nothing wrong with Hillsong music. But we've got to be people of the word. So often we're guided by our feelings and our emotions. Scripture warns us against that. Sometimes we're guided by other people's opinions. Social media, really dangerous for that. Any other book other than the Bible or tradition or anything anybody else says is dangerous. What's the result? Our faith has no foundation and no substance, and we'll be blown around with every wind of doctrine. Number two, knowledge helps us stand in difficult times. You know, when the bottom falls out of life, a knowledge of God's word gives us unshakable principles of hope, direction, and peace. Number three, knowledge enables us to handle the Bible accurately. So by knowing some of the general themes of the Bible, and we don't need to be scholars, but when we know some of the general themes of the Bible, we are better able to handle the scriptures intelligently and wisely. It gives us great confidence in reading the Bible. It makes the Bible come alive, and it makes the Bible make a lot more sense. Number four, knowledge equips us to discern and to confront error. Big, big issue in the church that Peter was writing to in his letter. You know, one of the things that I always encourage young pastors, it's great to get to a place as a leader where you are confident in your own theology. And I'll say this for experience. Decades ago, as a young pastor, I used to get really, probably a little bit intimidated by people who would come into the church with all of these fanciful ideas and theologies, and I get a bit unsettled by them. I wouldn't confront them directly because I really needed to process and make sure I wasn't missing something, because there's a lot of weird and wonderful ideas floating around even in the church. But as a young pastor, I'm thinking, I better check that out, because it's great to get to a point in your maturity of faith where somebody like that can come into your church and say something and you know that it's just not aligning with God's word and you can easily dismiss them. So we've got to be able to handle and to discern error. So it makes us confident in our daily walk. One of the major reasons people stumble along in their faith is that they lack that commitment to just meditating upon the word of God. And there's no question, in this uncertain world, it gives us certainty. In a world that is struggling to define what truth is, it gives us absolute truth. And then finally, it's a good foundation of having a good foundation of spiritual truth filters out fear and superstition. And that's what I categorize a lot of the nonsense that goes on social media, particularly in Christian blogs. Some of them you just go, wow, that is bizarre. And it drifts into superstition. It certainly drifts into false doctrine. And we got to know, we've got to have the knowledge of God as our filter. So I'm going to circle around. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead, whoever's on data. And let me ask this question. What about you? How are you doing? Where are you at in the learning process? Are you discovering the treasure that is God's word? Or is it still dull, irrelevant, and a little bit boring? We must never stop learning. We must never stop growing in our faith. We must equip ourselves with the truth. We must discover that the Bible is far from dull and boring, because it is the truth, that it is God's living word, and by his Holy Spirit, it lives in us. So circling around again, back to where we started, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. I pray that we would know the key and we would experience the outcome. Amen. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that we would be people of knowledge. We don't have to be Bible scholars, but Lord God, we've got to nourish ourselves on your word. We've got to fill our hearts and our spirits with your truth so that we can, in this age of information, so that we can discern truth for ourselves, that we can dismiss error. Lord, that we have your truth to walk with confidence in a world that struggles to define truth. That we can walk with confidence and purpose in a world that seems to be so confused right now. So may we live as people of your word. We pray this for your glory and for our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great word, isn't it? That was really helpful. Thank you, brother.